What the city is talking about. This is Montreal Now on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
That is James Menney. He is over at the Montreal Gazette. Jim, I'm going to start first of all. Big story, not big story. Joe Ortona, it's a win for the EMSB, so they've got to stay now on some of the provisions of Bill 96 respecting language. It's curious to your reaction to that.
It is a small, quite literally, by definition, a temporary victory. And I listened to you talking to Mr. Ortona before, and I hate to rain on your parade, Aaron, but of course the government's going to appeal this. Or if they don't appeal it, they'll make it as difficult as possible for the MSB for having had the temerity to actually manage to get this stay. You know, because this is what Bill 96 is about. And it's a big day. In fact, you're talking about a victory for the MSB, which is fine. But there was an even larger, far more extensive victory for Bill 96 that came down today. And indeed, it's the denouement of the whole tragedy of these poor parents who are trying to get an information meeting for their special needs kids with the Ministry of Education. And we've got Bernard, I'm going to start calling him Bernard Silky Dranville, because he comes across real smooth when he's trying to explain things to English people, right? And it's like, you know, back in the day, you can remember, you've been doing this as long as me, Aaron, back in the day, used to be overzealous language inspectors. Now it's civil servants who don't know what they're doing, who don't know Bill 90. They should have known, but they didn't know, and we'll make sure that never happens again. They knew perfectly well what they were doing. And let me explain, because I'm not blaming the civil servants for this. But I got to tell you, when I first heard about this story, when I heard about, for God's sakes, parents with special needs kids getting information from the Ministry of Education. And I saw this and it says, well, no, we're not allowed by law. The first thing, honest to God, Aaron, it's a terrible thing to say, but the first thing that went through my mind was I could hear the government saying, take your kids, take your special needs, take your English and get the hell out.
Wow.
To actually treat people this way from behind the law and pretend that you're protecting French is the biggest load of rubbish. There is nobody, Anglophone, Francophone, is going to buy into that garbage. But you know what? Even as that thought crystallized in my mind, Aaron, I said, you know what, Menny, you've been doing this for way too long. Shut up. Now, it's a ridiculous thing to say. I'm sure there's an explanation. And I was right. There is an explanation. And I've listened to the story. I've listened to the explanation from the government. I've listened to the criticisms from André Fortin this morning, saying that, you know, this is a government that's dropping the law that its bureaucrats don't even know about. They don't even know how the law works. I will respectfully submit that, yes, perhaps the bureaucrats didn't know how the law worked, the bureaucrats in charge of that meeting. And perhaps there was a moment they said, you know what, this is ridiculous. These are parents. These people need our help. You know, and they need to understand what's going on. Let's talk to them in English. And then it probably occurred to them that, you know what, there are so many, and this is a webinar, how many rats inside my own ministry or out there, you know, pretending the so-called protection of the French language will turn around and report me as a menace to Quebec's identity. And I think the big victory for Bill 96 today is the message is loud and clear to the Quebec civil service. When in doubt, speak French, because speaking English could be a bad career move.
Look, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people, as they hear you say this, agree with you. This seems like something that should have been a no-brainer, right? With respect to this particular, you know, the parents with kids with special needs, to have to hear the minister skate his way through this. At least at the end of it all, Jim, we take some solace in the fact that he said, you know what, we were wrong. It shouldn't have happened. It's not going to happen again. And that's all well and good. But to Joe Ortona's point, you know, if you don't complain about this stuff and you don't make a big deal about it, nothing would have gotten done.
Well, absolutely, you have to complain about it, but the fact of the matter is, with all due respect to Bernard Blanville, when I didn't hear him say I'm sorry. I said, you know, he said there was a misunderstanding and so on and so forth. I think if he's sorry about anything, he's sorry he got busted. He's sorry he got caught. He's sorry these people did complain, because what infuriates me, Aaron, we're not talking about a bunch of people, you know, who. I'm English and I'm going to speak English and that. These people have enough on their plate with their kids, with dealing with the education department, which is never a walk in the park at the best of times. But to get this two-bit, anglophobic, cheap shot legislation shoved into their face with all the other stuff they have to deal with, the frustrations they're dealing with, hoping their kids are going to be able to make it through the education system, and to be confronted with this, and then to have it all smoothed over by saying, well, obviously, you know, it was a misunderstanding. Yeah, there's a misunderstanding. The misunderstanding is this is a government that adopts garbage discriminatory laws and basically shrugs. And when they get busted, they shrug. And, yeah, we're sorry about that. And when it happens the next time, guess what, Aaron? They now have a cassette to play. Oh, it was another, I'm sorry, it was another bureaucrat. Yeah. Didn't understand how the law worked. Please. You know, you can only blow smoke for so long. And I think that time has come now. This, to me, was about, you know, I keep saying, how low can they go? And they keep surprising me every other day, this Legault government.
By the way,
honestly, of all the people, honest to God, I remember, of all the people to go after, parents of special needs kids, really?
I will simply say, and I think Joe Ortona said it, you know, these are not the hard parts of Bill 96 to understand, right? There's a lot of minutiae in there we haven't even gotten to. They can't even get this right. Imagine what it's going to be as we keep going down the road here, and it happens over and over again in different areas. It's going to be a nightmare.
The message is clear, loud and clear, Aaron. When in doubt, don't speak English.
Yeah. Let me move on from that and talk about Paul St-Pierre Plamondon. And by the way, for people who missed the interview I had with him yesterday, we're going to replay that for you at 5:30 this afternoon. He's getting a lot of attention, Jim, good or bad. I think most of it is bad.
I got to tell you, Aaron, things are getting so sporty. And I listened to the interview you did, which is posted at CJAD.com. I listened to it again today, okay? And it's like, I don't. Nobody knows what the hell is going on. But his opponents, his adversaries, are describing him as very thin skinned. And how can I disagree with them? He's not happy with the answers he's getting from Francois Legault during a question period in the National Assembly, and he just says, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. You're not answering my questions. He had 40 seconds left, by the way, on his period of the question, but he's a big dramatic sweep and leaves, and people are starting to scratch their heads between the over the top dangerous rhetoric about, you know, the French language in danger and the executions and the deportations and whatever. I have to tell you, I was talking to a colleague today. It occurred to me, it took the Parti Québécois 50 years to get to the point where it is now, where it's kind of, you know, just getting fringy. At this point, if Mr. St-Pierre Plamondon continues in this, he's going to be doing it in 50 days. Because, it's a perfect example of where we are in 2024, where because you don't rave and rant like the guy who's in charge, like Francois Legault, people like you, they're like your party, all of a sudden you're ahead in the polls. But then you go over the top. I mean, God help us now what the next poll is going to have. And Aaron, I couldn't tell you. I'm pretty sure this one is going to be, it'll be too late for these latest, how can I put it, forays by Mr. St-Pierre Plamondon. But I think it is going to shake people up. I think people are going to start scratching their heads and wondering, maybe this is not the best parking lot for my vote, given that, you know, I'm still very, very, and I think the jury has come back and returned the verdict on the CAC. I think the CAC is limping and quacking for the next 2 years, that they don't have a hope in hell of being reelected. And Francois Legault could turn around and say he's going to seek 12 more terms. It doesn't matter. I think he's done like dinner. But the question now is, how does that gap get filled? Because honestly, in English or in French, to put it as politely as I can, the head of the PQ in the last 73 hours has left a lot of people, many of them within his own party, scratching their heads over what in the hell he's doing.
You know, I'll tell you though, Jim, the impression I got in that interview was, we may say that, and that's how people have reacted that I've spoken to as well. He doesn't get that. He's like, no, I'm the same now as I was then.
He was as calm as a cup of water talking to you, didn't raise his voice. It was the same PSPP you've interviewed in the past, and how can we put it, happier days. But my God, man, something's up. And you can't keep talking like that and not have it catch up with you. That's the problem. I mean, that was his big allure. The guy may have been a separatist, but he was lucid.
Yeah.
He was cogent. He was even-handed. He sounded at least like he knew what he was talking about. And in the past 3 days, man, that ship has turned around 180 degrees.
And then to hear someone like a Pablo Rodriguez, right, a federal minister, suggest he's, you know, he's affecting the social cohesion, his words of Canada.
Yeah, social cohesion and the violence of his words. And quite frankly, he threw him a beach ball right over the plate. Yeah. Why not? Hit it.
James Manny at the Montreal Gazette. Thank you, Jim.
Bye, Matt.